You are now listening to part 3 of the March 25th, 2007 Jimmy Doan podcast.
Jesus Christ! What the hell?
I don't know. If I pull it off one of the work servers, all the guys in the shop share like a music thing.
It's the Jimmy Doan Show!
God, I don't think so!
Still March 25th, 2007!
That's right.
There you go.
Talking about your mama!
Your mama's so fat!
Quit, play something from Jimmy's era, a little Mozart or something.
I don't know if I have any then.
Oh, God.
Okay. Let's run,
all right, we're back.
Yeah, we're back. Okay, listen, I wanted to go. There's a couple little things here, or actually some fairly important things. The DNA database is cranking up again. This has to do all with the fact that they want to keep control over us. This is the spying. This is the total information access, which actually did not go through here. The TIA, what they call the TIA, the TIA. They tried to pass, as you know, a couple years ago here in the United States. They wanted to have all of the databases for people linked together in the entire United States so that they would have, anytime they wanted to find out anything about anybody, they could just
So they have
in.
Control.
So they have control. But, interestingly enough,
it's coming. That's coming.
No, it is coming. And one of the reasons it's coming
is because
the technology is improving rather dramatically. I don't know if you know this, but Singapore is basically a dictatorial type of society. It is one of those that is
child porn capital of the world.
No, that's Thailand.
Was it?
Yeah, it's not
Singapore.
No, that's where they do the caning. They do caning in Singapore. You do not want to spit on the sidewalk. You put your gum. You throw your gum. No. You get caned. No,
gum's illegal, I think, in the entire.
It could very well be.
No chewing.
No, I mean they have. It's interesting because in spite of that, they are a mecca for a lot of things. They've wired the entire place for super high speed internet. It is a very, it's like Logan's Run. I mean, it's a totally controlled society. You know, I don't know if they have the part where they kill everybody over 30 or whatever, like in Logan's Run, but it's all
35, I think.
35. Okay. But it's all totally so unified. If you fit in the pattern and so forth and so on, and
you fit in the matrix.
Fit in the matrix. That's right. So anyway, interestingly enough, they nearly 4 years after Congress pulled the plug on what critics assailed as an Orwellian scheme to spy on private citizens, which was the TIA, Total Information Access, Singapore is set to launch an even more ambitious incarnation of the Pentagon's controversial program in an effort to collect and mine data across all government agencies in the hopes of pinpointing threats to national security.
Yeah. For Singapore?
For Singapore.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, but
I didn't know there was big people trying to threaten Singapore.
Well, they have. I think in Singapore, don't they have the tallest building in the world now?
Kuala Lumpur.
Well, okay, someplace.
I thought that was in Dubai or something.
They're working on it.
They've got
Dubai,
one of the top five that was built in the last 20
do.
Years.
Anyway, retired U.S. Admiral John Poindexter, the architect of the original Pentagon program, traveled to Singapore to deliver a speech at the unveiling, while backers have already begun quietly touting the system to U.S. intelligence officials. So here is where it's coming, folks. You are going
to they're working on Singapore on our national security?
Yes. Right. Exactly.
Right.
They are.
Because they're practicing all the data mining and everything.
This is beta test.
Right.
This is beta test in Singapore.
Right.
If it works, it's going to become here. And I mean, it's phenomenal when you look and see what, you know, how this is going to be. And of course, no chance for abuse, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And if you're not doing anything wrong,
right.
And of course, nobody ever spies when you're not supposed to.
Right.
No stealing of data.
No. Nope.
For nefarious purposes.
No, the FBI never. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. They did though. No. And of course they said, well, no harm was done. No harm, no foul. The FBI said. And it was inadvertent. And I'm thinking, what do you mean inadvertent? I mean, it was advertent as far. What do you mean it was inadvertent? We accidentally mined these people.
Right.
And we accidentally mined this data and investigated these people and spied the shit out of them and tapped their phone and opened their mail, but it was an accident. So, bye. And of course, I love the part where the head of the FBI, I guess it was the head of the FBI, or so often people come up and they say, I take full responsibility for this.
It was Mueller, yep.
And, what does that mean? It means nothing. It means you get a
took
promotion.
Full responsibility.
Yeah, that's right. I uttered these words, and so. But this also goes with the. Did we talk about the city police? Of course, in New York.
Yep.
Before the RNC, the Republican National Convention in 2004, they spied all over the world. in order to stop terrorist attack, yada, yada, everything in the name of terrorism, children, elderly, whatever it is. And if you
spread them, grandma,
that's right. Exactly. But the operation was mounted in 2003 after the police department invoking the fresh horrors of the World Trade Center attack and the prospect of future terrorism won greater authority from a federal judge to investigate political organizations for criminal activity. And what's interesting, of course, is that a lot of these places were not criminal. In fact, what was interesting, a couple of the organizations wanted to be surveilled. They wanted to be in the news. They wanted to get arrested. Some other ones said, we knew there were spies in there. Because when the newcomers would come in, you know, with their beards and their faded jeans and say, what's your first name and your last name and where were you born and how old are you? I'm sorry, did you give me your social security number? You know, maybe this guy's a spy. So they knew about it. But the war resisters, one of the things is war resisters publicly announced plans for a die-in at Madison Square Garden. They were arrested 2 minutes after they began a silent march from the World Trade Center. Charges were dismissed.
Made it 2 minutes.
Yeah, made it. Many of the 1,806 people arrested during the convention were held up for 2 days on minor offenses normally handled with a summons. The city law department said the pre-convention intelligence justified detaining them and all got fingerprinted. So, I mean, this is where...
And we are one dirty bomb away.
You know, absolutely. From martial law.
Right.
From martial law. There's no question. There's no question.
Register your route.
Yeah. There is going to be, this is, as you know, if you have a tool, you're going to use it. And they're in the process of assembling the tools for total control. And if you don't think it's coming, and privacy, of course, is long gone away. I don't care about Griswold. The ruling in 64, whatever that was, that found the right to privacy of the Constitution.
Right.
But, you know, it's gone. I mean, you Google anybody on here, and even if you make a mistake, so what? Wrong guy. I don't care. You know, it's...
Can you get it encryptors and de-encryptors for, like, ham radio stuff?
I'm sure you're not allowed to, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it turns out that you, the FCC on amateur radio, you're not allowed to send encrypted, and you could talk in a foreign language, obviously.
Right.
You don't have any control over
Navajo.
That. Yeah, Navajo. That's right. But interestingly enough, you're not allowed to send, you're not supposed to send. Yeah. Good. Thank you so much. Click talk. Okay, good.
No encrypted signals.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, who could ever know is what it boils down to. I mean, you can do teletype, you can do so many things that would be, that you never find out is what it boils down to.
I saw the other day they were selling an Enigma machine.
Really?
Yeah, one of the
I think I heard about it. One of the originals.
Yeah. Where at? eBay? Might have been. Wow.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah, that's...
Of course, by this time, Jimmy will already bought it. Yeah. Sold.
Sold. That's right. No, Jimmy...
I got sniped by Jimmy.
I've never been
400 bids this month.
That's right. Jimmy has done
activity on his account.
Jimmy has done lots of activity this month on eBay. I spent way too much time.
You've
on
won it. Many items.
I have won several. That's right. Well, I've also sold a few things. I did all right.
Oh, good.
I scored. I
selling
scored
some Jimmy junk.
That's right. I scored. Okay, I'm done with that one.
Okay.
The next thing I wanted to talk about was the meltdown in the mortgage market. The lawmakers, right away, they talk about predatory lending practices. In case you don't know, they have something called subprime loans. And these people that are not creditworthy, they're not worthy. And they have gotten loans, sometimes for more than the house is worth. And especially here locally in Florida, our bubble peaked last summer. And
they're not making the payments.
They're not making the payments. Why? For two reasons. One, of course, the house is, they borrowed too much money. On the house, they borrowed more than it's worth, and then now the price went down. That is to say, if they want to sell their house, they're in it, as they say, upside down. But most of them had a 1 or 2 year grace period on the adjustable rate mortgages. So now the payments are starting to creep up as the interest rates went up, and I can tell you from personal experience over the last 4 years, you know, I have an adjustable rate mortgage, and my payments, I'm able to make them, of course, have tripled, basically tripled.
Really?
Or,
wow.
Yeah, tripled. And I mean, if I was one of these people, I'd be in trouble. And they're losing their homes like crazy. One of the nests of losses, it turns out, is around Cleveland. Big story around Cleveland. I mean, whole neighborhoods are being foreclosed upon. I mean,
Wow, that'd be cool to get a whole neighborhood.
Well, it would be. Mm-hmm. Then you wall it off and start over.
Right.
Jimmyville.
Wall it off and start over.
That's right. Would it be like Jimmyburg?
Otisburg.
It's right here. Cleveland.
Little tiny neighborhood, Mr. Luthor.
Mr. Luthor, that's right.
So anyway. Put watchtowers in there with, you know, machine guns and stuff?
Oh, I would imagine. Yeah. I mean, imagine. And so the point is that the lawmakers, of course, are stepping in on this. One of the things that I thought was, there was an editorial in the New York Times about, or it might have been locally here anyway, unwary investors. And one of the things that's happening is some of the towns, when they see all their houses being boarded up as people are being foreclosed on and moving, just leaving, you know, they're hoofing it because they can't make the payments. And the neighborhoods start to go down right away because when you have vacant homes, the first thing they move in are crack dealers and, I mean,
squatters
and that sort of thing. So some of the towns are buying up or making sure that people are in it or whatever they're doing. And they're spending taxpayer money to make sure the neighborhood doesn't go down. Interesting approach to the thing. But one of the things that I did look at was they interviewed, of course, some of the people whose homes were being foreclosed. And they said, well, gosh, you know, we didn't know this was going to happen. Really? You know, didn't you read your documents? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was all confusing. And we thought we could do it. And, you know, nobody's lost their job or anything. It's just that the payments went through the ceiling because of the adjustable rate mortgages. And so it's quite a problem for the people. But I look at this as thinning the herd for greedy people. I mean, the simple fact is that a lot of these people could have afforded a lesser home very easily. It ran the prices up of a lot of the homes. If you couldn't afford a $200,000 home and you could only afford a $100,000 home, let's say, the prices adjust to the market. But if you're waltzing in there like you're some multimillionaire Arab, and you're not, and you get this low-rate teaser loan, I mean, you're an idiot, and you should be, you know.
Helps keeps the prices high.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the fact is that the subprime loans, this is a very small percentage of the entire mortgage market, so it's not going to have any serious effect on the economy. I mean, we're talking about 2% of the loans here or something, and that'll default. I think subprimes are about 12% of total mortgages.
Yeah.
But
a couple of them went out of, one of the big companies went out of business because they weren't being paid. One of the big companies that held the loans.
Yeah.
And of course, what they were talking about was there were, in anything like this, of course, there were some scam artists, a very small percentage.
Sure.
And of course, Congress comes in and right away hollers predatory pricing or unreasonable profits or windfall profits is the other favorite. But predatory pricing, I love that phrase that they use all the time, as if everybody that made a loan to an unworthy person. Thank you for that. So we've got Engineer Eric on the sound effects. Okay, good. As good today. So the
predatory pricing.
Yeah, and of course it's not. I mean, if you're an idiot, and you sign these papers for these high loans, but I repeat myself, then you should be you have to pay the consequences. I don't see a problem with that at all. It'll all work out. Yeah. One of the things that people don't realize, on especially when they talk about housing bubbles and stock market bubbles, and unfortunately it comes through on the on your taxes as well. If one guy in a neighborhood sells his house for $1 million, suddenly, quote unquote, all the other homes in the neighborhood are worth $1 million, but they're not. I mean, if everybody tried to sell their house at the same time, then the price is going to be whatever it's going to be, $200,000, $300,000, or whatever it is. But the tax assessor doesn't know that. And the people that are, it's one of those things, as long as you don't sell, your house is still worth $1 million. But as soon as you try and sell it, it ain't. To me, it reminds me a little bit of those scams that I always get on my, in the junk mail. And that is the buy this stock. It's what they call pump and dump. And that is the, you know, you buy, everybody buys this stock, and then the guys that are in it dump it. But because it's so thinly traded, the price plummets, but they got all their money out. Same thing with the housing thing here. If one or two homes drive the price of the neighborhood up, it's not really, it's fake. It's a balloon. And that's what it is. It's a balloon that's destined to pop. The money's not really there. You're saying that it's there, but it's not anything you could actually, if everybody tried to spend it at the same time, it wouldn't happen. So anyway, this is what's happening to these people. Is they're getting caught in this balloon, and as far as concerned, exactly right. Oh well.
So the government's going to do that.
The government, of course, going to step in and try and protect these people.
They're going to fix it.
Yeah, they're going to fix it. They have got the magic wand,
right?
And
you should have seen Bill Bradley on This Week with No, no, it was, he was on the one with Tim Russert.
Yeah.
And this was today.
Ah.
And
I watched Stephanopoulos today because I always like
George
Will.
March 25th.
Well, yeah. I would have had a clip here from Bill, but he literally, it sounded straight like it came from PJ O'Rourke when he said, well, we're just going to go up there and pull an all-nighter with the right people and we can control everything.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's just convinced.
Yeah.
It's our moral obligation to control
it. It might be his. I, you know, go for it. I just don't count me out. Is what I, you know, you can include me out of that one. It's not my problem. I got my own house problem here, for God's sakes. I don't want to be paying for anybody else's. That's just, it's an outrage. Okay, I'm done with that one. The next.
Blazing through the list.
Blazing through the list, right, because we've spent a lot of time.
Hugo.
Hugo. Well, it's Hugo.
You know, I did so much R, I didn't even write a joke about Hugo. And let me tell you, Hugo. Hugo is like a pinata filled with bazooka bubblegum. Right? I mean, there are so many jokes associated with him.
We should get him because this is it is interesting that he's taking control of everything, the money supply. He's going to issue the new Cruzeiro or Peso.
What's,
or
what's the deal with that?
Well, he's going to knock
Bolivars.
Is the Bolivar okay?
Yeah, Simon Bolivar was the.
It's the Bolivar.
Simon Bolivar.
And he's going to reissue with the Nuevo ones or the no it's no what's new in.
Nuevo.
The Nuevo Bolivar. And they are going to be worth one thousandth of the old one.
They're going to
be worth a thousand of the old one.
He's adding zeros.
No, he's subtracting zeros.
He's subtracting zeros.
Yeah.
If you have a thousand
Bolivars, you get a new one.
That's because when he went to the printing press and he said, how much money can you churn out during a day? They said, well, we can make it 1,000 times as much if we change the denomination on the bills.
Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right. I guess, I suppose. No, that's not right.
That's got to be right.
Wait a minute. You're yanking Jimmy's chain.
All right. Is he adding or subtracting?
He's subtracting. He is, and he's not calling it a devaluation.
Right.
And normally it would be a devaluation, but what he's saying is that there'll be the same amount of money.
It'll so now just, the 100 Bolivar or Hugo. Or
the
is
thousand,
now,
the 1,000 Bolivars will be the one new Bolivar.
One Bolivar.
So like how much dinero do you walk around there with Venezuela on a daily basis?
So your $100
bill. How much
bill,
you got in your pocket right now?
So your $100 bill just
carry,
became a
$1. You carry 100,000 bolivars?
Yeah, and 100,000, now you're going to carry 100.
Okay.
So your $100 bill just became a $1 bill.
No, 10 cents.
10 cents.
10 cents.
It's 1,000 to 1. Okay. Anyway, technically it's not a devaluation in a way. I mean, technically since he's just changing the name of the money, but you can bet. You can bet one of the reasons is the inflation was like 20 or 30% a year. And you can bet, I promise you, by this time next year, inflation...
It'll be back up.
Right. Yes,
is there any way we can short Venezuela?
I think there might be. I think we might be too late. I mean, anybody that's anybody has already shorted it. So,
yeah, well, I thought we were somebody. We didn't do it?
No. Obviously, we're nobody.
I don't think it's too late. I think he's going to drag the whole thing down here in the next... Unless they oust him.
He's going to be hard to oust because he's got the popular...
I know. Just mean like a personal ousting, like a sniper.
Oh, that. The McKinley trick or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that he's going to pull a Fidel Castro before it's all over. You know, stay around until he croaks. Yeah, I mean, he would like to. But, I mean, it's going to get immeasurably worse for those people. Yesterday, I was in a salon talking with a Venezuelan girl who was here. I don't know what she did anyway, but she was calling it. She says, well, the communists have taken over down there. And I don't know what she's like 20 years old, student here at the university. And it was interesting to see her reaction
her say the word communist.
Yes. That mm-hmm. was what she said. She says, well, they've been taken over by the communists down there. And
well, good. Thank
yeah. I thought it was interesting that she is, you know, only been here for, I don't know, 5 or 10 years or something like that, or five years or whatever. I've been here 10 years, and she said that
it's the C word.
Yeah, the C word. Well, not that C word. Okay. Anyway, we're on track for our
Hugo predictions.
For Hugo predictions, we're in fact it's even happening faster than we said. Mm-hmm. We'd given it a couple of years, and I'm telling you, it's going to be
rocket train.
Yes, exactly. It's accelerating. So it's funny.
How do we make money off of it? That's the question.
Well, that's a good question. Again, risk. It's a risk reward ratio. You probably could make a lot of money. You know, George Soros made all. I remember when he made all his money by shorting the British pound. That's where how he became a billionaire. He threw all his money in and shorted the pound when, I remember that in the mid-70s or whatever, when they had to devalue. They claimed up until the moment, they always do this. All governments always claim until the moment of July. They were absolutely not going to, no chance, not going to happen, not going to happen.
No way.
And then invariably they do it over the weekend, and Monday morning they announce it. Invariably, that's the way it
had
works every single time.
Had to do it. Sorry.
So we just need to know the weekend.
Huh?
We just need to know the weekend.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
And, okay. And that's the weekend that we're renting the private jet to Vegas.
Well, yeah,
we short the new Bolivar. That's right.
Bolivar.
That's right. As we short the shit out of it.
Right.
That's right. Okay.
Tell us what
I'm done with Hugo. Anyway, continuing on with Hugo, he's the country's doomed, unfortunately. He may.
Castro's still alive and stuff, huh?
Yes. That's right. Well, haven't heard from him recently.
They're waiting to throw a party, though, aren't they?
I don't know. Weekend at Castro's. I don't know. They got
weekend
a little.
At Castro.
They got a string on his hand.
He said he was going to run for. He was going to quote unquote run for re-election.
Did you read
that?
I didn't read that.
Oh,
that
yeah,
is,
that was...
run for re. What a joke!
I remember
when Saddam Hussein got reelected by 105% of the vote.
Yeah.
Hello. Vote early and vote often. Okay. I'm done with that.
Okay.
The next thing I wanted to talk about, because this affects Ms. Jimmy, who's an interior designer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In Phoenix, in Arizona, in a op-ed piece by George Will, in New Mexico, anyone can work as an interior designer, but it is a crime punishable by a fine of up to $1,000 and a year in prison to list yourself on the internet or in the Yellow Pages or to otherwise call yourself an interior designer without being certified as such.
So you can do it, you just can't advertise?
That's right. You have to be. You can be called a designer. No, a decorator. Decorators are totally not regulated. But if you're an interior designer, you have to be licensed by the interior designer Grupo.
This ties back into earlier what we were talking about when the Congress in the states got into the regulation of business.
It's unbelievable.
It's so deep.
It is amazing now. Because in Nevada, where everything's legal except this.
Right.
In Nevada, if
you can be a hooker decorator, not a hooker interior designer.
That's right.
Unless you're certified as an interior designer.
If you can't even place furniture, without a license. One of the things that I find interesting, because this comes
and
up.
And then she moved the chair over to here.
No, yeah. Really, really. Have you, it is.
Are
well,
you
remember,
sure?
Well, it's to me. Yeah, to me, it's yeah. I mean, who's going to be harmed?
Here's a picture from last night.
The
chair is clearly across the floor.
That's right. And the harm that's done. I mean, can you imagine?
Tested for prints.
The harm.
I went to sit down in that chair and fell right in my ass.
Exactly. So the question I ask you, counselor, is how do they get away with this?
Well, just what I just said.
Is it health, safety? What would it come under?
It's one of those guaranteed. It's health, safety, welfare, morals. So guaranteed. It's one of those. They when they got into the regulated business. Let's see. Let me think. Decorating, welfare.
They're not allowed to do welfare, of course. Anybody will tell you. I mean, even in law school, they teach you that welfare is in the preamble, and you're not allowed to use that as a. Well, of course, the state constitutions, I suppose, can.
Well, right.
Yeah, of course, we've always said that providing for the general welfare is far different from providing the general welfare.
The key thing is general welfare. And
right. And of course, that's the thing. And it seems to me that a reading of that would mean. If you're going to provide for the general welfare, it's got to literally mean for every single inhabitant of the.
Exactly.
Every single one.
Right.
If there's one person that it doesn't provide for,
right.
then it's out. That's
right.
The way it seems.
Right.
To
and that is how it should be read.
But can you imagine? I remember it was where it happened here in Florida, had to do with the cosmetologists or no, the hair cutters. You, of course, in order to cut hair, safety feature, I guess, of afraid of being stabbed in the eyeball by some barber. They are licensed, of course, barbers and hairstylists and so forth. And in fact, you have to take quite an extensive course here. I think in California, it's like 1,000 hours. Here, I don't know if it's 1,000 hours, but it's hundreds of hours. You have to take a course. It's very expensive in order to
cut
hair.
Cornrow 101.
Huh?
Cornrow 101.
Yeah. Well, no, that's exactly my point.
Right.
It turned out that some gal wanted to set up a braiding place here.
Right. Can't do it.
Can't do
it.
Well, I think she finally won that one because she wasn't cutting hair. But they wanted to get her to take a cosmetology license or whatever.
They need to get money out of her somewhere.
Well, they get, of course, you have to have a business license.
Right.
But they wanted to restrict her in order to go into any business, you have to have a license around here. But then there's specific regulations that you have to pay extra for.
Mm-hmm.
If
I know what it is now. It's safety. I remember now that what it is They're trying to protect all the consumers.
Okay, from the interior designer people.
Right, from everybody who has a business.
Some rogue decorator
right.
who might walk in there.
It's a lot like
rogue decorator who might walk in there and actually put the picture on the wrong wall or something.
Look, you saw Brazil, and you remember there was a rogue air conditioning man.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And when that kind of stuff happens, they can mess up the whole system there.
Love Brazil.
Yep.
Got to rent the movie. I got another copy, by the way.
I saw that.
Yeah,
there's
I'm gonna video cassette
over there.
Well, I'm gonna put that on and I'm gonna copy the poop out of it. So,
Jimmy, that's illegal.
Not for personal use.
Oh, that's true.
Personal use. It's gonna be personal use on my website, and you can buy your own copy for
jail for that.
for shipping and handling only.
Right.
I'll send you a free copy.
$10
shipping and handling. But the copy is free.
Right.
There you go. Okay. So anyway, once again, the guild system is alive and well.
Exactly. This is amazing that the mercantile system survived, reinvigorated
itself. Has reared its head. I mean, after being totally destroyed by Adam Smith, totally. Nobody's going to read it, of course. Although P.J. O'Rourke has got a book out, which describes it fairly well, I think.
On the Wealth of Nations.
Right. And of course, P.J. is a good writer, and he did a lot of research, obviously, for the book. He did a phenomenal amount of research, if you can tell. He actually read his previous ethics book as well. Adam Smith's. I forget what it's called, but the ethics. Well, that was his, believe it or not, at the time, that was quite a famous book for him. Anyway, so moving on, the noose tightens again. The government again is going to put its hand in the horror business. That's not horror business. That's the horror business. They got their hand in the horror business.
Protect the children.
Protect the children. They want to
need some more regulation.
They are worried about the posters that go for apparently films. You know, when you go by the theater and you see movie posters, The Reaping is one. I've read that as first as The Raping, but it's obviously The Reaping about deadly plagues, captivity. Dead Silence.
Cavity!
That's right. Perfect Stranger.
The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Yeah!
Okay, and so
balls to the wall.
So, 7 years ago, the film industry narrowly avoided federal regulation of its advertising practices as politicians in the wake of the Columbine High School killings.
So this is Tipper Gore all over again, is what this is.
I guess. It's just...
We need parental...
Voluntary standards, but what I love this, of course, is...
We need a warning on the posters.
No, you can't... They want to basically... Not a warning.
Do not look at this
poster. Right. No, I think...
this poster
don't
may...
look here. Shield eyes. You know, this poster is R-rated. Okay, Mom. The deal is, of course, the government wants to monkey with the market, as usual. That's right. But I like the guy who's involved in this. I'm very troubled by this particular case. Dan Glickman, with the Motion Picture Association, said Thursday about the captivity billboards. I can tell you this issue will not go unnoticed. Anyway, Dan Glickman was originally, he is the politician supremo.
Glickman.
Yeah. He was.
That sounds like some name Bill Murray would make fun of.
It is. But Dan Glickman, for those of you who don't know, used to be a Secretary of Agriculture, and he was. But he will whore out for anybody.
Oh.
And he was one of those people that was all for agriculture protection, and so forth, expanding the agriculture department when he was there. Now, of course, he's basically on the other side of the coin. Wants the government out of his. We can do the voluntary enforcement on our own and so forth. Self-enforcement, as the Motion Picture Association has done for years. That's why they set up.
Let's face it, it's an advertisement. If it turns people off, it's a bad advertisement.
That's right.
And then people won't go see the movie.
Yeah.
So look, they got the top people doing this, and they're going to pick something that's attractive.
Well, of course, what they're saying is that it's the declining moral decay of America
that you can actually see
this stuff. And children are going to be not going to, when they see blood and guts, so traumatized, right, by the blood and guts and everything all over the posters, they don't even have to see the movie. You know, we understand the movies are rated, but gosh, I don't have to see this stuff as I walk down the street, yada, 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 and so forth and so on.
Are they going to take all of our Lara Croft Tomb Raider posters down and stuff?
I guess, something like that. I mean, it's, yeah.
Great.
So these guys are in it again.
So you have a government bureau on movie poster design.
Well, what happens is, what the thing about this that always surprises me they always call for voluntary restrictions on stuff.
And before we
make them not voluntary.
The
voluntary, you know, it's funny because they're not voluntary. I mean, the fact right. is, you know, these are voluntary restrictions unless you don't
this
apply
week,
by them, then they're
right.
not voluntary.
And next week.
Yeah, next week, that's right. I mean, to me, it's just hysterical to think of this stuff as voluntary. Either we're going to pass it, either you do it yourself or we're going to pass the law. But, and then what happens is, I would guess that sometimes this is a case, I don't know how often this happens, but I do know if you ask a person who's a criminal for something, who's done something bad in school, say, you've lied or you've cheated or something, very often when you ask the student, well, what do you think the punishment should be, they come up with one that's even worse than the one that you would have come up with. I mean, it's a psychological thing. I didn't know that until, actually, it might not even be true. So maybe the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America, keeps coming up. Their voluntary stuff is even worse than the. No, obviously it's not.
Well, you heard about the whole the South Park one.
Whoa, what? No.
Well, for their movie, they submitted it to the Motion Picture Association for a rating or whatever, and they were like, oh my God, you know, this is the most heinous, ridiculous. There's no way this can never be seen by human eyes. and then they because this is for their episodes, you know. And then they, for Comedy Central, that's who it was, for Comedy Central, for their episodes. So then what they do is they come back and they make it twice as worse and then resubmit it. And then the people be like, oh, well, thank God you cleaned that up a lot. You know, and they're just laughing all the way to the bank, you know, going, I mean, you know, every time we'd make it twice as bad, it's on their little documentary on VH1 or whatever.
About that'd South be great.
Park. Oh, it's classic. They said, you know, we went in there, we threw out all the cards, you know, in this one. And then, yeah, sure enough, got approved.
You know. Again, this is when you have subjective,
right?
You know, a lot of
subjective
the law right. being right. trying to be subjective. That's one of the things that the law does, of course, that is the problem, is they try and take the human element out of humanity. They want you to be able to read a book and decide what to do. No humans involved, you know, robot, something. You type it into the computer, all the statistics, all the play actions, and it outspits an answer. No humans involved. And of course, you can't do that because we're humans. Hello. That's us. So anyway, I'm done with that. Anything else?
Okay. No.
I'm done pretty much.
Oh, well, we got several light notes.
Well, then, light note away.
America, 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 fuck yeah, coming again to save the motherfucking day, yeah, America, fuck yeah, freedom is the only way. Yeah.
All right, the first one, have you seen this? And then we'll get down to the last line after this, but, this was Cincinnati, Ohio, in that area there. They're going to put deadbeat mug shots on pizza boxes.
No.
Yes. They're going to go ahead and
extra cheese, no deadbeats.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what the headline is.
What is it?
Extra cheese,
no deadbeats.
Wait a minute. They're going to put, what are these, deadbeat dads or something or what?
These are deadbeat dads. Yeah, exactly.
I guess you can't.
Not paying child support.
So you and they're going to put them on pizza boxes.
Well, that way the pizza driver, when they show up and they look at the pizza box and they see that it's you, then they can not
turn
get
you
pizza.
In.
Yeah,
turn
in.
Yeah, essentially, they're right. They're wanted posters for parents accused of failing to pay child support.
Accused, of course.
Yeah, listen to this. The idea came to Cynthia Brown, executive director of the Butler County Child Enforcement Agent, while she was ordering pizza. It's a profound revelation here. It suddenly dawned on me that most people running from the law don't eat out. They order pizza.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they can conscript the Chinese restaurant.
What a bizarre.
So, yeah. So I want to know, what's Domino's going to say about this now? What's Pizza Hut going to say about this, saying that that their clients are actually just
miscreants.
Criminals,
that's
criminals.
Right. Well, I did notice along the same lines, there's a guy, I think it's either in Washington, D.C. or maybe someplace here. No, it's in South Florida someplace. There's a guy who has a magazine called Mugshots or something, and apparently he's making a ton of money. And what he does is he gets all the mugshots of people that have been mugshotted and publishes this magazine, and people are buying it up like crazy. I mean, they all want to see who the criminals are.
All right, and of course now we got to get down to the last line. Think how children feel to see a parent on a wanted poster and know their friends might see it, he said. And finally, the last line. We aren't trying to penalize these people, Brown said, of course, Cynthia Brown. We are just trying to help the kids who have a right to be supported.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love it for the
play
children.
The kid music.
That's right, for the children.
It's always for the children.
It's either against the terrorists or for the children. You can do it. Exactly right. You got another one.
Well, we also remember we mentioned this briefly about the cuddly little polar bear.
Oh, that right. Yes. That is
in
that,
animal rights activists.
I'm curious to know what the outcome. I guess we're gonna have to follow that up.
These are
no. They want to euthanize. They want to use
give it the shot.
A shot, an injection.
The last shot.
This is now. This what happened here. Let me
just
go.
A little.
What happened was this is cuddly.
Absolutely no more.
No, this is a cuddly, white, little, just the cutest thing you've ever seen, polar bear.
Not anymore.
Well, no, I don't know yet, but what happened is, as does happen, born in a zoo, the mother had two, as polar bears are wont to do. They almost always have two, and one usually dies. Mother rejected one of them, actually, and that one died, and also rejected this one. Now, they've kept this one alive. The zookeepers are running in there with the bottles and everything. And they're keeping this one alive. On, you know, artificially, so to speak. The PETA people, of all people, are coming in and say, no, not only do you just withdraw the milk or whatever it is, but we want you to go in there with a needle, cyanide, whatever the hell it is, and kill this cub because it's nature's way. And I'm thinking, whoa, nature's way is let it starve to death. I mean, that would be the...
PETA, of course, is people eating tasty animals.
Right.
Right.
Well, look, all you have to do is go down to your local... quote, humane society,
right,
end quote, and you will see that they euthanize dozens of animals every day.
Yep, they sure do.
And it's all to save the animals. Their whole idea is amazingly circular. No, seriously, here's what they say. Well, we don't want the animals to die, so we're going to kill them.
We had to level the village. We had to level the village in order to save it.
I mean,
that makes sense.
I was in there with my 10-year-old, and she was freaking out on the woman because they were going to kill all these animals. And the woman saying, "Well, this is the humane thing to do. We're the humane society."
That's why we're called the humane society.
Exactly.
Don't worry.
Fire up the ovens.
Fire up the ovens.
We're gonna. That's right. By the time we cook them, they're already dead.
Look, what we're gonna do is we're gonna sexually mutilate all these animals so that none of them can reproduce in order to save those potential offspring from something harmful. Like sexual mutilation.
Well, it has been a long, as far as spaying and neutering or whatever it is, that's got a long history.
Bob Barker. Right?
Yeah, that's his big cause.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Every show he says.
But
he wants to do it or doesn't want to do it?
He does want to do it.
Spay and neuter your pets. It's the last thing he said.
But the deal is that as far as the euthanization, it's about the money. I mean, they don't have any place to put them all.
About outside.
Well, then you end up
in the woods. No,
the little minor problem is you have people complaining about feral dogs and feral cats.
Cue the shotgun.
There's tons of millions of acres of public land that could dump them all out on that we can't go on.
Well, and the other thing is that if they put them all out there, you'll get predators and stuff. I mean, there'll be more eagles and things like that. I mean, that's
bigger eagles,
right? You know, I mean,
fat, plump eagles.
I mean, literally,
eagles.
These people are trying to regulate nature.
Dogs.
No,
and
no.
Cats,
and I, well,
there'll be more Chinese food around there.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably against
prices
the law.
Prices will
too,
go down.
Yeah. You come eat dog here. We have plenty of dogs.
Chicken fried rice.
Chicken fried dog.
$2.29.
Dog fried rice.
$2.29.
Dog fried rice. No, I would think if I was a Vietnamese or something like that, I'd be going over there and adopting those pets every day.
You
adopt all 10.
Well, that's what Neil Bender had on a Futurama.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's like, oh, you kids want to eat again? He goes, are we going back to the Humane Society? No, I think they're on to me.
This is what when you go into the pet store and buy up the fuzzy little white mice, do you want this one? It doesn't really matter. The snake doesn't care.
Right.
So anyway, the deal is that I wonder that actually there is a story there to be told, and I can understand a little bit on both sides. You're right. They euthanize, I mean, just thousands all across this country every day, certainly.
Thousands a minute. I mean,
and that's could be a potential fuel
they're
supply.
Dropping like flies.
Well, I mean, they probably do burn. You could get some kind of a fuel supply out of them, you know.
I tell you the truth. I think what would be great would be for
barbecue.
If I were handling this, I'll tell you what it would be. It would be called
Jimmy Dim.
We would have a couple hundred acres, and it would be hunting.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you could get some moving target practice, some real right. live moving target practice.
And the slow dogs, that's for the kids. You put that in the yeah. kids.
No, no question. Well, you could always break a leg.
the emails are flowing.
Hey, that's right. Old Limpy there, honey. You can shoot old Limpy.
No. Let little Becky take Limpy.
That's right. Honey, here you are.
Becky the 4'10".
The 4'10".
That's right. No, what you do is one front and one hind. And it's the... on the diagonal, you see
in a circle.
Jimmy's drawn quartered.
But if you get him on both on one side, then it goes in a circle, and then they're easier.
That's true.
To
that's
shoot.
Well. That's true. That's true.
All right. There you yeah. go.
Well, or both. Maybe. What you could do is if you get both fronts, then they walk up like humans. You know, like they're walking upright.
A little bigger target.
Yeah.
Or yep. both backs, they have to walk on their front.
Right, but, right. You
know, all right, so let's talk about Brittany a little. She's out of rehab again.
Yeah.
Hi, Britt. Well, she
I date her.
I shaved my crotch, then my head. I don't like hair. I just don't like it.
Well, so you got to figure that after 30 days, her hair is probably stubble now.
Yeah.
But she's going to be wearing a wig for 2 years. You can bet on that. But she'll be back in rehab before that. I can guarantee you.
I don't know. All I know is
I can tell you from personal experience,
got a
30 days.
Song, man.
30 days is a spin dry. 30 days
spin
is.
Spin dry.
That is what. That, they go in and you say, yeah, I'm cured. Fine. Let me out of here. Excuse me. Where's the drink?
Yeah, get me out of here.
Now it takes. I can tell you that nobody makes it. I don't think, even at her age, especially at her age.
Oh, because come on!
No. What is she? 24?
Something like that.
Yeah,
maybe.
And no, you're invincible at 24.
Well, I'm thinking she might not have done this because she's an addict. She might have done it to save her kids.
I wouldn't doubt that.
If anybody got a whiff that she was, for example, drinking and driving with the kids in the car, like she was, then
drinking and driving with the kid in her lap.
Yeah.
Hey, right.
And then
you drive. I can't make it. K-Fed sees his kid in a big SUV with Brittany.
Well, you know, the thing is, of course, what she does is she gets behind the wheel. And she has one of those interlock devices, you know, where you have to breathe into it before you start. Here, kids, you breathe into this so I can drive. You know, just perfect. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
All right. So we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, that's right. Anything else you got?
Well, hey, I want to say one thing. Did we already talk about the glass bridge?
On the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
When Ms. Jimmy heard about it, she panicked just hearing about it.
Now, did we talk about this on the show?
Yeah, we talked about it a couple times.
Okay, I don't remember.
Two shows at least.
Well, I think it's open.
It's now open, I think.
It's open now. Yeah. Just so for those of you who don't know, it's a glass bridge.
It's 70 feet over the lift.
70 feet.
And it's a 4,000-foot drop or something.
4,000, like more than twice as tall as the tallest tower in the world, I think. Something like that, right?
It's
tallest tower is not but 2,000.
Right.
Not just under 2,000 or something like that. Just incredible. I don't know. All I want to know is it's got to be vomit-proof glass, I'm telling you.
You can imagine there's going to be some people vomiting
out
there.
There's going to be some chuck.
Yeah. I don't know, but can you imagine somebody? I can see... somebody falling down and crawling back.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Just squirming back, screaming as they try and get back. Yeah.
Soiled trousers.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what kind of cleaning arrangements they have there. I would imagine that a franchise dry cleaner on site would do well.
Wow, that'd be interesting. Well, of course, there'd have to be a Wallapai franchise dry cleaning because it's run by the Indians up there.
Oh. No, I thought they were down below.
It's like it's all the money goes to support the Wallapai Indians.
Okay, well that's okay. The way it works, I believe, is okay. That could be
they own from the lip down, aren't they?
Huh?
They own from the lip down. They don't own if you stand not on the glass bridge, but if you stand on the dirt,
They get money for that.
Well, they might, but it's a bribe or something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's a total scam thing.
Yeah, but I mean, and of course, if you go down in there on the mule or whatever it is, you're in their territory. I mean, they could, like, arrest you or something.
They could shoot you.
Yeah, right, whatever.
Smoking me, smoking me.
But if you're up on the rim, you're in the United States or something. Or
I don't know. I think it was some, like, you know,
maybe I'm
Hawaiian
wrong.
Or Japanese businessman that threw up all the money to do it.
It's not a state park.
A lot of money.
Okay.
Not a state park. It is a state park.
It's like it's part of their reservation.
Federal. It's a federal park.
Federal. Yeah.
It's federal. It's part of the legacy of Teddy.
Maybe go on YouTube and see if anybody's actually filmed their little escapade something.
And it's, if someone does see that, email it to us, Jimmy@jimmy.com.
Yeah, because we certainly couldn't Google YouTube and do that from here.
No, that would involve work.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Might have to touch the keyboard.
Well, I was thinking that we need to all take a visit out there. So if that, start burning up our
road trip.
Well, of course, once we get out that far, we go to see Hangar Dogs.
Eric, how's our PayPal account looking? Is that, will that take us out there?
It's looking thin.
It's not going to take us
thin
out there?
Thin in the skin.
And get us down the street?
Dude, I think we got $20 so far.
That's 20 more than we had.
Maybe 25 in there total.
All right, so what else we got?
I didn't really have anything else to,
that was a good show.
There was some local stuff here that I had, but was, that was bad.
Well, hey, we got it. But
I'll get it. I'll get it next time. I'll put it on my blog or something else. They're locally here, they're going nuts here locally. So it's as usual.
Well, the Florida Gators.
Oh, that's right.
On their way.
Yeah, they're on their way. That's right. They won today.
Yeah. Right, basketball team.
Basketball.
NCAA.
That's right.
Got their mojo working.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they're a second half team if there ever was one.
Also, Mrs. Jimmy wanted us to ask everybody if they could come up with something interesting for Grandma's 95th birthday.
Oh, that's right. Grandma's gonna be 95 in a couple months.
Hey, it's birthday. It's also.
I figured that since she's never been bungee jumping or something, maybe that'd be something. Fun.
I was gonna let her pick out her casket.
That's so thoughtful of you, man.
JimmyDone.com.
I know I have a pre-wake.
Right.
Join the donation.
That's right. No, I was going to, just have a nice selection here, see what she...
You, too, can help choose the casket.
That's right.
At JimmyDone.com.
That's right.
Cast your vote for the casket.
No, but Grandma, I know. Grandma's pretty good about that. She's probably... See, the beauty of it is we can let her choose anything she wants.
Right.
She's going to get a pie box. See, that's you make them happy in their last day. Yes, Grandma, the gold encrusted with the diamonds and the emeralds. Yes. No question about it, Grandma. Guaranteed. Got your name on it, Grandma.
She's already got it picked out, though. It's the Lincoln.
Yeah, that's right. She does.
We're just going to drive her into the.
It's going to be like Valhalla, when you just
with the boat.
Oh no! I got it! I've got it!
What?
She wants to see the Grand Canyon again. No, wait a minute! No, I've got it! If we do it like Thelma and Louise,
right?
We take the Lincoln and we go that glass thing,
right?
And she sails off.
Keeps going, baby.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect.
That's national news.
That's right.
And JimmyDone.com.
Yeah, we'll bumper stickers all over.
Bumper stickers all over.
JimmyDone.com and a whole trunk full of gasoline.
What you have is
onboard Grammy cam,
onboard Grammy cam. Now that's not all. Wait a minute, and then we'd have an unfurl a nice big old long flag ten stories tall.
Right.
It has vertically written JimmyDone.com, and it flutters all the way down.
It'll probably act like a streamer and break the fall, and then
we'll have it detach right before. We'll have it detach a few hundred feet off the deck.
Okay. Yeah, with a nice suitable explosion,
right.
You know, like a second stage,
right?
You know, second stage. What do you call it? What do you call it when the second stage detaches from the first stage?
I think it's detached.
No! It's eject. No, it's not ejecting. What? Come on!
Ignites?
No,
It goes away from?
Yeah, close enough.
Thanks,
Listen, thank you all for listening, and...
tune in again sometime.
Tune again sometime. Yeah, we'll do this again. This is great. We had a good show today.
Yeah.
Jack, thank you so much.
Good to be here, Jimmy.
And Counselor Curtis, as usual, and with sage advice.
Separation, Jimmy.
Practice for his arguing.
Second stage separation.
That's what I meant. Exactly. trailer with flag separation, whatever they call it, or what do you call that thing? Banner.
Flag separation.
Banner separation.
Banner separation.
Yep. Banner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Jimmy Doan banner will separate and flutter down nicely and make a nice YouTube presentation.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Engineer Eric, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Problem.
And hopefully this. See, now I had nice breaks this time, so you can put up maybe three sessions.
Hey, we'll work
breaks.
It out.
Okay.
We'll get it all done. I'll probably get a little premix tonight.
Cool. Okay, we'll talk to you later. Thank
all
you all
guys.
So much for listening in. Thanks, Bernie.
Thank you for listening to part 3 of the March 25th, 2007 Jimmy Doan podcast.
Oof, that is.
Support the Jimmy Doan Show by making a donation. Subscribe to the Jimmy Doan Show from your favorite podcast directory.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 a.m. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila!